I love the old songs. I love them because I grew up with them, and they mean a lot to me. I remember singing them as a child, and they bring back fond memories. Tonight we want to conclude our study together of the broad way and the straight and narrow way. And as we discussed this morning from Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 13 and 14, we have examined the righteousness that is demanded of those who are citizens of the King and citizens in the kingdom of God. And now it's time to make application of those things that we have learned and to choose which path that we will walk, whether the straight and narrow path that leads to life or the broad and wide way that leads to destruction. We begin tonight by looking at a comment again from Brother Earnhardt's book. He says, here Jesus openly urges his hearers to choose the way that is hard and constricted and reject an easier, more comfortable course. He even makes it clear that the road ahead is as relentlessly demanding as the gate by which it is entered. And more than that, it may at times be a lonely way, since most men will not find it to their liking. The Lord's remarkably honest invitation to the kingdom makes the carnal appeals and syrupy promises of some modern preachers utterly repugnant. And I would add amen to that. Because God never promised us that it would always be an easy walk. And he never promised us that there would not be obstacles that we would have to overcome. But he did make some promises that he would be with us, that he would not allow anything to be beyond what we're able to bear, and that with every instance he will make a way that we can overcome whatever obstacles this life or Satan throws in our way. And so God's going to do everything he can to make the path as smooth as he can, but there are going to be some bumps in the road. And you know what? The Bible warned us of that, didn't it? In Acts the 14th chapter and verse 22, the Apostle Paul made this statement to the early Christians. He says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Notice, through many tribulations, many hardships, many difficulties, we will enter the kingdom of God. And then Paul would later tell the young evangelist Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, a very simple passage that says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, I find it very interesting that God did not hide this from us. He did not put it off in a corner. He did not try to not bring it up. He made it very forthright that there were going to be difficulties that we would encounter to prepare us and help us to prepare ourselves for the things that we would have to face. And then Jesus himself said in Matthew the 16th chapter and verse number 24, he said, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Again, I want you to notice it's an invitation. It's an invitation to take up a cross. A cross here represents something you bear, some burden that you're going to bear. And we're all going to have our share of burdens. We're all going to have our share of tribulation, and we're all going to be persecuted for our faith in Christ. And brethren, take a good look at the world. We stand out in stark contrast to the way that the majority of the world thinks, lives, and acts. We are a complete opposite. How in the world would we not have to deal with persecution when we stand out so such a contrast in the way that the majority of the world lives? But you know, this morning, we examined the straight and narrow gate. It's constricted. It's demanding. It's something that you must choose to do. And it has parameters and it has standards that God Almighty has set. But there is another alternative. And God presents this alternative too. And men have a choice. If that sounds too demanding, too restrictive, and it sounds like it's too difficult, then God said there's another course you can pursue. And that course is the wide gate, the broad way. Entrance is easy and unrestricted. You can get off, you can get on and you can do it at your leisure. There is room for any opinion and any theory that men may have. You're not going to have to follow God's word. You're not going to have to think like He is. You're not going to have to follow His command. You're free to think in any way that you want to. Morals are lax and they're of no great concern. That's a personal issue. That's a personal choice. You don't have to worry about the morals. It leads to the path of tolerance and permissiveness. And that fits our society today. And the travelers can follow their own whims. There's no boundary or curbs. And you can get on and get off at your own convenience. Now, to say that this is an easier way would be a grave understatement. This is much more appealing to the majority of the world, and that's why the majority of the world gets on it. The Bible says many go in thereat. Why do they go in? Why is the majority on this road? Take a look. That's why they're on that road. You know what? We could sum all that up. No conviction, no commitment, no dedication. It's all about me. It's all about self. And if you want to live that kind of life, you can take this road. It will take you wherever you want it to go. And it will take you wherever you want to go or wherever you don't want to go. But the problem is, there is a consequence to travel this road. Now, many people avoid the consequence because they don't think about it. Many people avoid the consequence because they don't think it exists. But God says it does exist. And so Jesus warns of the alternative. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You see, the sin street and the lust lane, the freeway continues, and hell, you can go down any lane. You can go down any road. You can go down at your own speed. You can go in your own direction. You can do your own thing. You can do anything your little heart desires. And nothing is going to stop you. God's not going to reach down. No little spirit is going to whisper in your ear. You're going in the wrong direction. There's danger. That is the appeal. But heaven, it is a much different road that you have to travel. And you enter without any effort at all. To get on the wide way, you don't have to do a thing. Just be indifferent. Just live your life in any way you want. To get on this road, you don't have to make a decision. You don't have to make a choice. You can just do whatever your little heart desires, and you're on the broad and wide way. You see, it's so simple. It's so easy, and it's so convenient. And that's why people that travel it, no planning, no commitment, no seeking, no sacrifice, no requirement, no restriction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the way that the majority of our society lives. Do you see why it's appealing? Because it lets me do my own thing. I can do it my way, and no one can tell me that it's wrong. But you know what? That's true. That is an alternative that you can choose. And God makes you make the choice. But Jesus warns of this alternative, that travel on it without any effort at all, but travel with ease. It's downhill, no paddling, no pushing, no towing. And what I'm saying, brethren, is it is very convenient. And you know what it's done? It's lulled men to sleep. Because they think that there is no consequence to take this path. And I'm afraid that many of my brethren have fallen prey to this theory that in the end it's really not going to make any difference. Because as long as we do the best we can and we offer to God what we have, what we believe is acceptable, that's going to be enough. Now, brethren, Jesus warns that this path has a great tragedy at the end of it. Jesus warns of the alternative. This way is wide, it is easy, but it leads to destruction. Now, what does he mean that it leads to destruction? In Matthew 25, In verse 46, he says, the wicked and the ungodly will be burned in everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment is as long as everlasting life. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, the Bible says that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. They are on the broad and wide way. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 15 that we just studied a few weeks ago, that they will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This road has an end, and its end is much different than the end of the narrow and the straight way. There are many that go by therein. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, it says, broad is the way and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. Many. Look at that word many. That is in contrast to few. All that simply means, brethren, is the majority are going to take this road. And they're going to take it because it's convenient. They're going to take it because they think it's easier. And they're going to take it because it allows them to do what they want to do instead of what God wants to do. Now, brethren, it's a choice. It is a free will choice. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, with such a stark contrast of where these two roads end, this would be an easy decision to make, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think this be an easy decision, a lot what we sometimes call a no-brainer, that you would want to go the other direction? We must avoid this path at all costs. Why? Because of the terrible end that it has. You see, the Broadway gate can be changed to fit anyone. It can be altered at any time. Its teaching can change at any time. It can be amended to fit the times. It can be amended to fit what the majority of the people want. The Broadway has no restriction. Nobody says you're wrong. There are no wrong. There's no right. There's no absolutes. Smooth because it's all downhill. Crowded because many desires are unleashed and restraint is cast to the wind. A deceptive road because the traveler has no concept where the road will lead him. Remember the story in Luke chapter 16, and that should be chapter 12. My proofreader told me to change it, and I didn't change it, but I did on the one in my office. But in Luke chapter 12, it talks about the rich farmer. And he had a plentiful crop. And what did he do? He took his barns, tore them down, and built bigger barns. And stored up all the grain and all the goods that he had harvested. And he set back and say, I have things set up for years. I'll sit back, rest, and take my ease. But in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 20, Jesus said, thou fool, for tonight thy soul will be required of you. And whose will all these things be that you've gathered? You see, you're not going to take it with you. And it's all going to come to a screeching halt someday. We just don't know when. And so this way is deceptive because it appears that you are on this road with no consequences or no harm that is coming to you. This is the devil's lulling us asleep because it doesn't happen immediately and because there are no apparent consequences, man feels secure to travel this road. But you see, the Broadway is a suicide road. You know what Proverbs 14:12 says? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. You know, there's things that look good to men, but when you stack them up against God's and God's way, then you begin to see the fallacy of it. It also, man does not see the danger. It is not a man who walketh to guide his own steps. We don't see the danger. We don't see the pitfall. And you know why? Because it is not immediate. Because we don't have an immediate consequence. You're not going to immediately have something happen to you. And so the longer you travel it, the easier it gets. And the more that you convince yourself that there's nothing wrong and nothing bad is going to happen if I stay on this road. You just convince yourself that there are no consequences. You just ignore the warning signs. And this is the path of the ungodly, and they will perish according to Psalms 1 and verse 6. But it is a very well-traveled and very popular road. Therefore, many people continue to go in. And you know what? I believe that in the day of the flood, the majority of the people were outside the ark. And the minority was in the ark. And you remember for 120 years, Noah tried to convince them that there's going to be a flood and you need to repent. And can you imagine all the 120 years that he's building that ark when it had never rained upon the earth? And he's warning them that it's going to rain and the water's going to cover the highest mountain. Can you just see them ridiculing Noah and how foolish this old man is? To build this great monstrosity and bring all those animals in. And do you imagine how they just laughed and made fun of him? But that all came to an end when the door shut and the rain began to fall. How many people did you think tried to get in that ark after the door was closed? Let me tell you something, our ark is the Lord's church, is the kingdom. And there are going to be a lot of people surprised on the day of judgment, or even earlier than that, on the day of their death, when they realize all those things that they read in the Bible that they didn't think really mattered. They're going to realize all of a sudden they do matter. But the tragedy of that is, it's too late. It's too late then. You can't fix it. You can't go back and have a mulligan and you can't do it over again. It's done. So the time to make the decision is while you live. And make a good decision. Make a good choice. We live in a world of shortcuts and easy ways to get what you want. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's no shortcut to spiritual growth. There's no shortcut to developing spiritual character. There's no shortcut for acceptable obedience. There's no shortcut to our responsibility to spread the gospel. And there is no shortcut for enduring persecution and temptation. There are no shortcuts. There's no easy path. There's no path of least resistance. It does not exist. You know, some of our brethren for years have had difficulty with the subject of being a pacifist. And that means someone who doesn't believe in war and doesn't believe in violence and doesn't believe in taking up arms. And that's a personal decision. You can feel about that any way that you want to. But let me tell you something about being a Christian. You can't get to heaven being a pacifist. You're going to have to fight. You remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. And you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to release your grip on eternal life. You've got it, and you're holding on to it, and you're trying to walk down the straight and narrow path, and the devil's doing anything he can to rip that out of your hand. And if you don't want him to take it, you're going to have to fight him. There's no way out. There's no way around it. He's going to keep trying, and we got to keep fighting. But the good news is, he can't win if you stick with God and you follow God's path. He can't win. He can't get you off the path. He can't rip it out of your hand, and he can't steal it from you, because he doesn't have the power to do so. unless you let him. That's the good news. We live in a world who thinks there are shortcuts to everything. But if you're going to go on the straight and narrow way, the way to life is difficult. Because you've got to leave some things behind. You've got to, things must be left behind when one enters the narrow gate and travels with difficulty. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11, there were a list of sins that said that those who practice these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't practice sin and get into heaven. You know why? Because sin won't be in heaven. You see, brethren, God's going to remove the things that trouble us and beset us and cause us so much grief here, they're not going to exist in heaven. And so you can't travel down this road with sin. You're going to have to discard it. In Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21 calls that the works of the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says you've got to mortify those. And that word mortify means put to death. That means to get rid of them. The wickedness which poisons and destroys us is stripped away, and all excesses must be dropped. You can't take what you want on this trip and go down this straight and narrow path. Things on the narrow road. Love is something that exists on the narrow path. Peace, joy, mercy, goodness, and hope. And if you recognize these things, they're called fruit of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and they exist on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. But consequences result. The narrow and difficult way will cause one who loves self, sin, and the world to feel constricted. In my lifetime, I have met Christians who quit serving God. I remember a friend of mine, an acquaintance, when I was preaching in Las Vegas. He quit the Lord, and his explanation was that he was tired of being alone. He was tired of not being able to do this and do that. And he was tired of being told what to do. And he wasn't going to live the life of a Christian because nobody's going to tell him what to do. I got news for you, folks. Satan was telling him what to do. He just didn't understand it. You see, all of us play servant to someone. We're either a servant of the Lord or we're a servant of Satan. You're either in one camp or the other. Read Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 30. But for one who loves God, keeps his commandment, his way is not burdensome. You know, brethren, living the Christian life began a lot easier for me when I began to accept and understand that there is nothing that God's asked me to do that is not in my own best interest to do it. What has he told me to not do that's not in my best interest to leave it alone? You know, to participate in sin, it not only brings you heartache, it can destroy your health. It can destroy your relationships. It can destroy the good in your life. It can take all of it out and it can suck it right up. Why is that a bad thing? You ever hear people talk about the good old days? What is that? The good old days. You know, I look back on my life and I'm thinking, Keith, what were you thinking? Where was your mind at? To think that certain things were fun and enjoyable. But I never understood because I avoided looking at the consequence. You know, some people struggle with living the Christian life because they have not submitted their whole life to God. There's something that they want to take with them that they're not willing to give up. And so Christianity is burdensome to them. It's like a ball and chain around their foot because there's something they don't want to let go of. Brethren, until you conquer that, Christianity will always seem difficult. Until you realize that there's nothing you're leaving behind that's not better left behind. And you know what? When I figured that out, and it took a little while, I'm kind of hard-headed. It took a little while, but when I figured that out, my life as a Christian got a lot better. And you know what? It got a lot easier too. Because I wasn't fighting the Lord. And I wasn't fighting myself. You have to make a decision. The high price of our redemption, the way to life is difficult. Why? Because of the price of our redemption. You know what? Jesus had to die in order for us to have even a hope of getting to heaven. He gave up everything. Think about this. If you ever get to heaven, or I ever get to heaven, would I want to come back to what I left here? You remember the things we've been studying on Sunday morning about how wonderful heaven is? Would you want to come back? I don't think so. Jesus left all of that. He left all of that to come here, to suffer, to be humiliated, to be crucified on a cross, simply to give man something that they could not do for themselves. You think you've got it difficult? Nobody had it as difficult as our Lord did. He gave up everything in order to we could benefit. The price we must pay. Jesus paid with his life. What is he asking me that's more than that? What would I do in my life that would be ever equal to what God's done for me? What could I ever do in my life that would be equal to what God's done for me? Nothing. The value of every soul. Every soul to God is precious. And every soul is valuable. Therefore, he died to give all men the same opportunity. Few find the way. Why? Why just a few? Most do not desire it. Most are not willing to pay the price. And brethren, this is the one that really my brethren need to think about. To be a child of God cost you some things. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to make you live in a different type of way. It's going to make you think in a different type of way. It's going to make you be a different person than the majority of the people that you live with, that you work with, that may even be in your immediate family. You are going to be different. And some people, they don't want to be different. They just want to fit in. But you know what? Israel tried that route, and it didn't work out too good. They wanted to be like all the nations around the bottom. How did that work out? That didn't work out too good. And so, I don't mind being different because of the benefits of being different. The narrow way is a safe road. Why? Because it's God's road. There is a final destination men should desire. In Isaiah 35, it's called the highway of holiness. That's the highway we want to be on. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, the journey of life and its ending are very important. It's not, let me tell you, brethren, it's not how you begin. It's how you end that's important. It's how you end that makes the difference. And who could say that the road to heaven is the better path of the two? That's a no-brainer, isn't it? Surely heaven's a better choice than hell. Surely the wide way has no comparison to the broad, the straight and narrow path. You see, it comes back to our chart here again. You got to make a choice. The way of trust and submission. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The way of rejection and rebellion. The thief does not come except to steal, to destroy, and to kill. You see, you've got to make a choice. Which will it be? The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know why nobody can snatch you out of the Lord's hand? Because you know him. You hear his voice, and you follow him. If you're in that category, the devil can never get you. If you know the Lord, if you hear his voice, if you obey him and you follow him, the devil will never be able to destroy your soul. Ever. Guaranteed by God. The thief does not come except to destroy, to kill, and to steal. That's his only aim. That's what he's trying to do. The two groups of people. Many. This is where the crowd is. This is where the popular road is. Plenty of company. Many on this road would not be associated with in life. You know what's always amazed me? There's people that are on the way to destruction to be with people that they do everything in their ability to stay away from while they live on this earth. And they're living their life to spend all eternity with them. I haven't figured that out yet. Why would you live your life to spend eternity with people you're trying to avoid with every fiber of your being in this life? That's a paradox. Because you're going to be with them for all eternity. You know, I've heard my brethren over the years say, you know, the hypocrites in the church, and yes, we have hypocrites in the church, and we have hypocrites at Harrisburg. They've been in every church I've ever been in. But you know what? You got two choices. You can spend a little time with them here and try to encourage them and try to get them to see that and to change, or you can spend all eternity with them in hell. I'll take to spend a little time with them here. Few. The number is much smaller. How smaller? I don't know. No one travels without counting the cost, except the restrictions willingly. Much more difficult. Just one must choose what is more important to them. What's more important to you? Comfort and ease or an eternity with God? And you know what? In closing tonight, there's always been two choices. This is not rocket scientist stuff. God's always made it very simple. And he made it very simple here. There's a way that's narrow, and there's a way that's wide. There's one that's restricted and straight, and there's one that's broad and wide. You and I must make the choice of which road we want to travel. In his book, The Kingdom Narrow Way Constricts the Willful Spirit and Self-Serving Mind. It does not straighten love. It does not constrict peace. It does not dry up joy. It does not squeeze out mercy. It does not crush out goodness. It does not strangle hope. All these abound on the narrow road. The only thing which the straight gate strips us of is the wickedness that poisons us and destroys us. And brethren, that is absolutely right. Anything that kills you and can destroy you is on the broad and wide path. It's to be avoided because everything on it is destructive to your soul. It could kill you both physically and spiritually. And so, God and his blessings are available to all who sincerely inquire. God and his blessings are obtainable to all who will continue on the difficult way. And the demands of the kingdom citizen are not too hard for the willing. Brethren, it depends on how you look at it. It's your perspective that makes this way hard or makes this way easy. Which destination are you taking tonight? Destination is determined by which path you choose. You know whether you're headed for heaven or hell depends on which path you're on tonight. Whether it's the straight and narrow, whether it's the broad and wide. Both roads are quite different. We've examined both of them. Yes, it depends on where you want to end up on your trip. Do you want to end up in heaven or do you want to end up in hell? I guess it depends on how you look at it. Brethren, in bringing this lesson to a close, God has given us every reason to desire the straight and narrow path that leads to life. He's given you abundant information why you need to stay off the broad and wide way that leads to destruction. He cannot make it any easier and a greater contrast than what he's done in these passages. The next step is yours. Before you walk out that door tonight, you're on one of these two paths. You're either on the straight and narrow path that will lead you to life, or you're on the path that will lead you to destruction. And I want you to remember one thing. If you forget everything I've said today, I want you to remember this one statement. Wherever you end up, you chose it. You're not going to be able to blame the preacher. You're not going to be able to blame your family. You're not going to be able to blame society. You're not going to be able to blame your parents. Wherever you end up at the end of the road is what you chose in life. The only one, if you make a mistake, to blame is you. I want you to choose the straight and narrow path. Because that's the better path. Because that's the path that will lead you to heaven. That's the path that will lead you to an eternity of bliss and not an eternity of pain, misery, and torment. But I cannot make this decision for you. You must make it for yourself. I implore you to consider the consequences of making the wrong decision. There are times in this journey that it'll be up and there'll be times when it'll be down. But if you remain on this path, I promise you, when your eyelids close in death and you wake up on the other side, you will not have one regret, because you'll know that when the Lord comes, you're going to be with Him. And brethren, that's how I want to wake up on the other side. In my life, I've got to walk that straight and narrow path. Let's walk it together. The ending is so much better. If I can help you in any way to get you on that path and remain on that path, the Lord's church here and every soul that loves you and cares for you will do whatever it takes to help you gain heaven as your home, if that's what you'll choose. And we're here to help you make that choice tonight, as together we stand and as we sing.